Hello and welcome to the Gadget Show podcast. I'm Jason Bradbury.
And I am Susie Perry. And before we dive in, let's say a quick hello to our sponsor, CEX.
Yep, CEX is the shop where your unwanted tech goes for a second life and where you can pick up everything from an iPhone to a Game Boy without emptying your wallet.
Plus every single thing, yes, even that dusty old Wii U that Jason swears that he still uses, is guaranteed for 5 years.
Classic piece of gaming periphery, that, Susie. So whether you're trading in, upgrading, or just browsing for some new or retro gold, head to WeBuy.com or one of nearly 400 CEX stores across the UK.
So this week, we're diving into Samsung's XR specs. We're going to check out tellies that your nan would actually understand. And strapping in with the latest action cams built for full-on thrill junkies like him.
Wow, so what are you talking about? And you? Sounds like a packed episode with all your, you know, hobnobbing in amazing countries and bombing around with the MotoGP lot. Which brings me to that point, actually. What have you been up to this week?
Well, I think I look like I might be in a Habitat shop behind me. I know it looks a bit different to normal. I'm actually in Indonesia. I have been in Japan and I've also been in Malaysia in the last week. So quite well travelled. For MotoGP, obviously. So we had a championship winning weekend and I was looking for some AirPods, the Pro 3s. And do you know what? They're sold out everywhere. Couldn't get anywhere.
Wow.
Was going into all the Japanese stores, you know, the ones that go like bling, bling, bling all the time. You know, when you're older, you just think, oh, I can't handle all this noise and jingles and you just feel like you've got onto another planet. Finally, I managed to get myself some and they're cheaper than the UK. So that was actually a little bonus. So that happened. That was cool. And I found myself in Instagram jail for 3 days.
What does that mean?
Well, it means I was banned from Instagram for 3 days.
Why?
This must be algorithms because I posted this really beautiful crafted piece about Marc Marquez and obviously it got footage in, archive footage of Marquez, which is owned by Dorna. So there must be an instant check and then it got banned. But then Dorna tried to lift me from being banned and they couldn't. So I was basically in Instagram prison for 3 days.
I mean, how was it? How was your kind of digital cleanse? Did you take, you know what? I'm going to take this as an omen that I don't need to use my phone or my devices, apart from my brand new AirPod Pro 3s. Did you do that?
Well, at first I thought, oh,
no, you didn't. Yeah,
you know, no, but I thought this will be fine. But then I thought, no, it won't be fine because TNT Sports will be expecting me to be posted because it's a championship winning weekend and I'm in prison. So this wasn't really very good and they couldn't get me out of prison. So I had to wait until, you know, I passed go and collected £200 and there you go.
But this is really interesting because we are now in a phase where the state intervention into our digital lives and obviously the social platforms, often an extension of the state, but in this sense, an extension of a corporation's, you know, IP, are starting to wield their power, aren't they? And before it wouldn't have mattered, but now our lives are so, you know, entwined with whatever your social network of choice is. It has a real impact. I think that's a really interesting thing that happened to you.
Yeah,
I don't know what
is.
I think I mean, about it.
Well, I think in my situation, it was fair, actually, because I posted archive footage of Marc Marquez that was owned by Dorna. So I understand why that's not allowed. You know, it's not like I'd sworn at somebody or been really nasty to somebody because I think that's, well, yeah, okay, then we're into freedom of speech and that's a whole nother story, isn't it? But all I'd done was innocently posted a video thinking, well, this would be a nice promotion for the weekend ahead. And they were like, that, banned. You can't look
really
at Instagram for 3 days.
Anyway, amazing. So right now you're in a hotel room and you're probably going to be around the world for the next few episodes of this podcast, aren't you?
Yeah. So right now I'm in Indonesia and next time we speak, I will be in Australia. So yeah, amazing. Lots of different backgrounds. So I do think I look like I'm in a Habitat shop here though. And sorry if it's a bit echoey, but I can't do anything about it. I'll tell you what I did like, though, when I was in the tech stores in Japan, Jace. They have loads of different things that you can't buy in the West. You know, lots of just little bits and bobs, really, that are unique to Asia. And I did find out that actually they're going to open, well, Nintendo are opening a pop-up store at Westfield soon.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, I know.
To sell Japanese stuff.
Yes, they're going to sell things that you can't normally buy in the West. I've got some details here. So it's 22nd of October through to the 16th of November. But the first week to the 26th, you're going to need to buy a ticket to get in. You'll have to have a game ticket, but otherwise it's going to be so rammed. And after that, you won't need to have a ticket. You can just go and they'll have official Nintendo goods, including, you know, just loads of goodies that you'd normally only find in Japan. Like merch from the classics, really, like Super Mario, Zelda, Donkey Kong, Animal Crossing, Splatoon, stuff like that, really. All the favourites.
Pokemon by the hundred, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really popular.
Sounds great. Thanks for that. I actually wasn't aware of it, so I might be popping along. Awesome stuff.
What have you been up to?
Okay, so, I mean, main story is I've been trying to get my hands on the Asus ROG or Rogue Xbox Ally X, which is something that listeners, viewers will be familiar with because I've mentioned it a few times in the last few eps. And most importantly, I can't get one. I can't get one. What I haven't done is kind of done that kind of like, hello, it's me from the Gadget Show podcast. I haven't done any of that. I've just been queuing up just like I should, like everyone else, and online. So, look, and I'll tell you how frustrating this is. I anticipated that it would be a hot item, right? And I put the order into my, whatever you call it, trolley, digital trolley thing. And I actually accidentally put two in. Right. So then I messed about taking one out and then I couldn't decide which credit card to use. In the time it took me, which was about 5 minutes to resolve those two issues, I went to buy it and it gone and they've all gone and they've never been available since. This is only the X version, by the way, folks. To be clear, this is a brand new gaming portable, a bit like the Steam Deck from Asus and Republic of Gamers. There are two versions. There's the sort of slightly cheaper version, which I think is $499 now, that I didn't know that until a few days ago. And then there's the X version, which has you know, better performing hardware and is $799, I think, retail in the UK. And it's the X version, the $799 one that you can't get. You can still get the slightly less powerful version, which is what I'm going to go for now because I've got no choice. But isn't that interesting? In that tiny amount of time, they sold out across the country and they've not so far come back in stock, although you can pre-order and then receive it in December now. That has now become a thing at the time of recording this podcast. Interesting, isn't it? I mean, it feels to me like something needs to be done there because I don't believe that's people like me. I think it's people getting multiple units looking to sell them online for a profit. But I have no evidence for that. Just experience from what's happened before with popular items.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it, that when that happens. It's like ticket touts with gigs and stuff like that. They're trying to, you know, work all that out. But it's just not fair, is it?
Yeah, so the standard Ally has got the Ryzen Z2A processor in it, 16 gig of RAM and 512 gigabytes of SSD and a 7-inch 1080p display, which is capable of 120 hertz. The premium version, the X, has the Ryzen AI Z2 Extreme chip, so a more powerful chip, 24 gigs of RAM as opposed to 16, 1 terabyte SSD as opposed to 512, and it's got the same screen. So it's the graphics processing that's going to get a lift for that extra...
300 quid, yeah.
That's what I've been doing this week. Slightly frustrating. Wish I had better news for you.
Now, if you can't get enough of us chatting gadgets, we've got loads more waiting for you on Patreon. Extra episodes, bonus clips, behind the scenes bits and bobs, and all the stuff that we couldn't squeeze into the main show. And yes, it's the only place you could watch and listen completely ad-free.
That reminds me, actually, I should get some footage this weekend for the Patreon peeps because I'm going to a really cool retro gaming event called Play Expo in Blackpool.
That'll be good. I should have done
that.
Yeah,
it'd be great. Yeah, well, yeah, but it'll be like ZX Speccies and Commodore 64s for days. And a massive arcade, like probably the biggest collection of arcade machines from the 80s and 90s ever assembled, Although it is a yearly show, so it, you know, it's always really, really impressive. Anyway, if you fancy supporting what we do, just head to patreon.com/thegadgetshow and join the gang. We'd love to see you there.
Right, now that we've had the launch of the iPhone 17, should we have a little bit of a debrief about it? Because official sales figures for the iPhone 17 haven't been released as we're doing this podcast, but analysts noted that Apple stock actually dipped right after the announcement, which obviously wasn't a very good sign. However, according to market trackers, launch sales could be up around 20% higher than the iPhone 16's debut, showing that people are still actually turning up and, most importantly, buying a new phone in big numbers on launch day. Are you surprised by that?
I'm really surprised. I'll tell you why I'm surprised. Because actually, the viewers of this podcast, which includes those people that view some of our short mini reels and clips, yeah, on platforms like Instagram, where Susie was banned recently, and TikTok, where they won't ban you because they'll allow anything. There was loads of pushback. When I did this little... well, we packaged together a little video of me saying, wow, I think the iPhone was like jewellery, right? And I think out of context, what we did on the podcast, we were quite fair and we were quite balanced about the pros and cons of the latest you know, phones from Apple, but out of context, just seeing that clip, I got a lot of pushback. People saying I don't care about Apple, they've dropped the ball, they haven't done anything original in years. I thought, and it was really interesting to me because I always listen to your comments, folks, and my takeaway was that actually a lot of people were really disappointed. And my other personal feeling is the lack of anything really substantial about Apple Intelligence was quite telling. I think we mentioned it, but I'm going to mention it again anyway. I think they're really in a state of crisis about Apple Intelligence. In fact, I believe there is a court case going on around some of the promises that they made when they initially launched the iPhone 16, and they talked about Apple Intelligence, which some of those features are still not available. And so I don't know. I don't want to bang a gong for them right now. I think they need to step up. And in hindsight, I'm surprised that they've sold a lot of iPhone 17s. Maybe it's the fact that it's orange and it just catches people's attention on a billboard. I don't know.
Here's something interesting. You know MLB in America, Major League Baseball, it's obviously one of America's biggest sports. Well, they basically got four of the iPhone 17s and they filmed the sport and loads of people watched it. And it was new, you know, and it was different. So from the end of last week, Apple and MLB officially put four iPhone Pros on the field for the Tigers versus the Red Sox game. And they sat in these little docks and everything, and they broadcast it, which is fascinating to think that an iPhone could do that, because obviously they're packs, aren't they? So they've got like the 48 megapixel cameras and the 4x optical zoom that can push to an 8x sensor crop zoom, and you can watch a sport on four phones. I think that's mind blowing. Absolutely.
It reminds me, actually, you know, 28 years later, Danny Boyle's latest version of that amazing franchise, they shot that on 15 Pro Maxes. Admittedly, though, they say that, but when you look at the rig they use, because I was doing the movie at the time, I thought, oh, maybe we could do something like that for our film. But when you look at it, they've got like an £80,000 cinema lens on in front of it and some other, you know, hardware. But still, you know, still the sensor has still got to take that image. So it's quite interesting. Maybe you'll see it at MotoGP on the grid soon, Suze. You never know. People with their phones broadcasting live. Anyway, over to Samsung now. We've given Apple enough love. Let's move on. Samsung rumoured to be working on a new pair of XR glasses under the name Project Haiyan, I think, expected sometime next year, 2026. Reports from ET News suggest the glasses could end up costing more than Meta's Quest 3. But I think the idea is that Samsung will still price them lower than Apple's Vision Pro, making them more accessible to a wider audience. They're going to need to, because I think we're kind of around, I don't want to go back to Apple again, but we're kind of around that time when we might be hearing rumours of a Vision Pro 2, which I think would probably be cheaper. Anyway, on top of that, they've said that they're going to feature Google Gemini's multimodal AI capabilities. This is in the new Project Heian XR glasses, which can seamlessly understand and combine text, images, audio, and video, making their XR glasses far more intuitive and enabling natural interactions, real-time visual understanding, maybe, you reckon, and smarter contextual assistance in mixed reality. Look at these bad boys, right? I'm ready to get the augmented reality I've wanted since about 1985. Maybe this is it. In terms of design, Samsung's glasses will reportedly use a micro OLED panel from Samsung with an ultra high resolution of around 3,800 pixels per inch. That's not bad, is it? So what they're saying is that those kinds of numbers, the image is going to be so sharp that your eyes won't be able to spot individual pixels, even right up close. And that's actually a really, really big deal because the screen is literally right in front of your face. Originally, the rumored plan was to announce it alongside Samsung's tri-fold phone and open up sales early October, but apparently the date has been shifted to coordinate with internal marketing strategies, and it's now likely set for an unveiling at Galaxy Unpacked on October the 21st. So, very soon!
The old internal marketing strategies. I wonder, actually, if it's going to steal a march on this. I know this is something that you're waiting for. Like, this is the one thing that you're really waiting for.
My whole life.
your whole life. Whenever I put anything up about glasses, I get pushback on it. I get so much negativity from people like, nope, don't want it. It'll be really interesting to see if it comes in and just floats in, as these things can have a habit of doing, or whether there will be a pushback. You know, I don't know. It'll be interesting, but there certainly has to be something that's affordable.
And the need versus want continuum. You know, they're more on the want side of the spectrum, aren't they? Until that killer app drops. But you know, when you've got your posh AirPod Pro 3s like Susie, you can Have you done the translation thing, by the way? Have you tried that?
Well, you know, because I bought them in Japan, I don't think they translate Japanese yet, so I haven't rushed in for that one.
That's a good point, actually. But my point is, you know, when your AirPods can translate and your phone can, do X, Y, and Z, there's got to be something that equates to a need to put something that costs, what's it going to cost? I don't know, 1,500 quid, 2 grand, something on your face. There's got to be a reason for that, hasn't there? Mm. And what that reason is yet is not clear.
Because it's a whole shift in culture. It's a whole shift.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when the iPad came out, everyone was like, well, why do I need it?
Yeah, I agree, Susan. Then you've got Procreate suddenly, and there's a whole industry of graphic artists that can now produce incredible work, and tattoo artists using it and all that sort of stuff, and suddenly it becomes indispensable. It'll be interesting, but if it's just people like me who are enthusiasts of mixed reality and VR, then it's never going to break culturally, is it?
I don't think it'd be a big enough commercial base, but let's see. So,
yeah, we'll see. Now it's time for a quick pit stop. Big thanks to our sponsors at CX.
Yep, their stores across the UK and the website are basically a wonderland for gadget fans. Consoles, laptops, tablets, games, VR headsets, cameras, even your favourite movies on DVD and Blu-ray.
Everything's covered with a 5-year warranty, which means you can shop stress-free, even if you're buying something from my favourite decade, the 1980s.
And don't forget, CX isn't just for buying, because you can also trade in your old kit for cash, even if it is, like Jason, from the 80s.
Yeah, so sincerely, if you've got, that forgotten box of consoles, or games, or what have you, or photography equipment in your loft, it might be worth a small fortune.
So head to webuy.com or pop into one of nearly 400 CX stores across the UK. Next up then, Qualcomm has just announced its new flagship mobile chip at their annual Snapdragon Summit in Hawaii, the Snapdragon and Elite Gen 5. Why don't we go to Hawaii?
I'd like to go to that summit, if anyone's listening. Not just because I'm a big fan of what Qualcomm do. See what I'm trying to get us in with Qualcomm, Suze? No, in all seriousness, actually, talking about mixed reality and VR, Qualcomm is like the main player in terms of the chipsets that define things like the Quest 3 and so many other headsets, like literally tens of them use Qualcomm chipsets. Anyway, Tell me more.
Well, inside you've got a brand new CPU, which basically means it's smaller, faster, and more power efficient than before. Qualcomm claim the CPU alone is 35% more efficient, and the whole chip is about 16% more efficient overall. So in terms of translation, your phone should run faster while using less battery. That's the idea anyway. On the graphic side of things, the GPU promises a 23% boost in gaming performance while pulling 20% less power. These are big numbers, aren't they? So if you play demanding games, you'll see a much smoother frame rate without your battery crying out for mercy quite as quickly. That's the idea. Then there's AI. So the Hexagon NPU is 37% faster and smarter. And that means that things like on-device translations, image edits, or even voice assistance will feel quicker and less reliant on the cloud, which should really help the speed and efficiency of everything.
And you won't have to wait long to see it in action, because Qualcomm says that loads of brands are adopting it. Honor, Zumi, I never know how to say that. OnePlus,
shall
Oppo.
We?
Thank you. Shall we? Vivo and even Samsung. But the Xiaomi 17 series is the, and I know how to say that because Susie told me, is the first confirmed phone to ship with Qualcomm's new chipset. So in short, better speed, better battery life, sharper photos and video, and smoother gaming. What more could you ask for? If you upgrade to a flagship Android phone in late 2025, or of course early 2026, then it's pretty likely that you'll start to see, well, you've got a good chance of this chip being inside.
Something else then that's been in the news this week, LG has launched something quite clever. It's a brand new TV designed specifically for seniors. It's called the Easy TV, and it's launching in Korea first, but LG says that it will come to other countries with aging populations too, like the US, UK and Japan. So basically, smart TVs can be a bit of a nightmare, even if you're not in that target group. I mean, we've all been there, haven't we? Visiting family and getting roped into fixing the telly for them. Well, the Easy TV strips all that back. It runs a really simplified version of LG's webOS system with bigger fonts, easier navigation. It's also got live alert voice commands so that you can set reminders for things like taking your tablets. The remote has also had a makeover as well. Brighter backlit, bigger buttons, and a big dedicated help button. Press that and LG Buddy kicks in, a system that lets relatives or carers take control of the TV remotely to adjust settings, inputs, or even schedule programs. I think that's absolutely brilliant. I've definitely been in that situation before when my dad's gone, I've pressed the button and I don't know what to do and I can't get onto any of the channels. It can also be used for voice and video calls through the TV's built-in camera and to share photos or YouTube videos. So in emergencies, say somebody has a fall or something like that, pressing the help button three times or holding it down will automatically alert a designated contact. So LG says that the help feature will eventually come to other TVs as well, not just Easy TV, because actually that would be good, wouldn't it, on any TV, I think.
I love this. I love it. You know, I have an elderly mom and I, you know, so sometimes trying to get her to work out how to do a video call so she can talk to the kids is a bit challenging. I don't want to make out that my mom's, you know, not capable, but, you know, the reality is reality as you age.
Yeah.
Things become complicated. Yeah. And it falls and all the rest of it, as you know, are a reality. They're a really big reality for elderly people. And just the notion that a big brand is just saying, hey, we've made something for you guys. And I think that's wonderful. I don't know if, I think I've mentioned it before on the podcast, but one of the things that really stuck with me from the gadget show is when they turned me into an 80-year-old man via what was called a third age suit, yeah, which you kind of dial in and it restricts your joints and it gives you calluses and it gives you cataracts, like with glasses, obviously simulated. And then we made, you know, we had fun with it. I was bombing around in a mobility scooter, but the point was a serious point. And we tested all these peripheries, like peripherals, like keyboards and remotes and so on and so forth. And actually, I think we concluded, I don't remember exactly, but I know I personally concluded that the absolute most intuitive interface for me with my 80-year-old simulated hands was the Xbox controller. Because of the colours and the raised buttons and the click. So interesting that you mentioned that they've designed, you know, a remote expressly yeah. for that new target demographic. Susie, what a great thing. Brilliant.
I think it's amazing as well. And it's LG, you know, so it's a massive big brand. I do think that there's a whole generation that have been alienated, you know, which includes your mom. My mom used to actually be really brilliant at tech, but my dad, no. My dad's one of the only people in the world without a mobile phone. You know, he just yeah. doesn't buy into anything. He doesn't do anything online. And there's a lot of people around like him. And if you do start changing things, you know, it's hard to take in information when you get older as well. That's another big point to, you know, to remember. So the fact that they've designed this TV is absolutely fantastic.
On to action cameras now, as DJI has launched the Osmo Nano, its most compact action camera yet. In fact, I'd say it's so small, it's a wearable camera. I mean, it only weighs between 52 and 53 grams with a 1x1.3-inch sensor, and it supports 4K video at up to 60 frames per second in standard mode. Yeah. One of its standout tricks is gesture and head movement control. All right, so you nod to start recording, which is ideal for hands-free shooting. It also pairs with a modular accessory they call the multifunctional vision dock, which gives you a screen, boosts battery life, and acts as a remote sort of preview interface. Okay, what does this mean? Well, because it's so small, you can mount it anywhere, really. The gesture controls mean that you don't have to physically walk up to it. So you could put it in the corner of the ceiling, or you can put it on a place on your bike and just wave in front of it. And the sensor, by all accounts, 1x1.3-inch sensor, is pretty decent. You know, you get a solid image, relatively good low light performance. I'm quite partial to this. I actually have the standard DJI action camera. I chose that as opposed to GoPros, which have been my traditional go-to. So I'm interested to see this. I mean, I could do with a small one, because obviously I do a lot of surfing and I do a lot of action stuff with my boys. So interesting.
Yeah, I actually think it's really cool for motorcyclists as well, with that compact nature and being so light. I think they could have a market there. That sounds amazing.
Yeah. I mentioned GoPro. They've come out with their Max 2, which is a next-gen 360-degree action camera. So the upgrades are, get this, true 8K, 30 frames per second capture for full 360-degree videos. Also swappable lenses, yeah, and a larger 1.82-inch touchscreen. Remember, though, with the 8K moniker, that obviously that's spread around 360 degrees. If you take a 16x9 chunk out of it in the edit, it won't be 8K. But the full 360 degree video is extremely high resolution at 8K. That's amazing. Now, with all this talk about action cameras, Insta360 have got in on the act at the end of the year with something called the Wave. But while we normally associate Insta360 with some fantastic innovations, especially in 360 degree action cameras, this is a bit different. The Wave is a bit different. Actually, it's actually a kind of AI-enhanced, AI-driven recording suite. I mean, that's the best way to explain it. It's like a speakerphone. But if you pair it with something called the Insta360 Link 2, which is a webcam, then you get both a webcam and an incredibly sophisticated kind of 8-microphone AI-assisted speaker array, microphone and speaker array, all in one. So you've got something that you could kind of do this whole podcast on, actually. I can have it in front of me, apparently, according to the blurb. And the microphones would get rid of background noise. If, for example, I've got some people outside doing roadworks or something, it would get rid of that and it would enhance my vocal quality. And those people sitting around, that's what the 360 stuff is all about. And then if you whack this camera on top of it, you've now got a full kind of audiovisual suite, which is interesting. They say that it's levitating, because it's got the design is such that the unit sort of looks like it hovers. It's not. It's got a very thin kind of arm at the back, but it's quite a nice, I'm not explaining it very well, but it's quite a nice bit of industrial design. So not an action camera, but from a famous action camera family. And finally, before we go, I just wanted to give a big shout out, Suze, for something delightfully odd. Baby Steps. Have you heard about that? The new game. So, okay, it's a new game from veteran indie game designers, the peeps behind QWOP, which was that kind of ragdoll-based track running browser game back in 2008. At first glance, Baby Steps looks, well, it's like a kind of walking simulator, which I know sounds incredibly boring, but it turns out that walking into a full-on and absurd series of challenges is actually really, really good fun and very, very funny. So you play as Nate, a 35-year-old man in a dirty onesie, and you're forced off the couch into a bizarre open world. And here's the twist. You have to manually control every single leg, shifting of weight, the placing of feet, step by step. That's the point. That's why it's like a bit QWOP. It's a little bit like that game from 2008. One mishap, and yeah, and trust me, it's really, really difficult. And you might stumble or fall. And if you fall, you might fall off a mountain. You might be falling for 5 minutes. I mean, it's really, really funny. The way that the character walks is incredibly awkward. And there's no map, no fast travel, no kind of, you know, major side quests or quests. You just wander around in an open world and you explore. And you just kind of had all these absurd interactions with different characters and creatures. So it's a kind of a sandbox. It's a bit like a sandbox shooter, except you're not shooting, you're just walking. I don't know if I've sold it to you, but that was my best attempt.
Well, it does sound like a refreshing change from all the shooting games, I think.
I tell you what it's good for, actually. It's really good for streaming with chat and everyone sort of commenting on how ridiculous you look. Yeah, I like it. It doesn't take itself even slightly seriously. And some of the sort of, you know, the character configurations are just hilarious. Like, it's bizarre, absurd, and really funny.
One thing before we go, a quick thing. I was looking on CX's Twitter feed, and they said that the new MacBook Pro could be touchscreen.
How interesting. So like an iPad, a foldable iPad with a keyboard.
And I don't know how I feel about that, to be honest, because I don't know if I'm going to be touching my screen on my MacBook Pro. I don't know.
I guess we'll find out at their next announcement. But the mention of CX does bring us quite neatly to a big thank you to CX for supporting the podcast. We couldn't do it without their incredible support.
Yeah, whether you're hunting down the latest kit or fancy reliving some old retro classics, CX is definitely the place to go. And before we disappear, a big shout out to our Patreon crew.
Yes, gadget love to Dean Day, Chris Cool, is that right? Stephen Green, Tall Man with Glasses, Andrew Bamford, and Duncan Bell.
And also a shout out to Colin Jones, Gordon Packer, Richard Martin, Simon Ryland, Philip Eddington, Richard Wykes, and Danny Rushton. You lot are absolute stars.
Total legends. Fancy hearing your name in that lineup? Well, you can just pop over to Patreon. You'll get bonus content, extras, and of course, an ad-free version of this here podcast.
Exactly. Head to patreon.com/thegadgetshow to sign up, and you might just hear your name next week.
Yep. Join the Gadget Gang. You know you want to.
And don't forget, later this week, we'll drop our Q&A special, the Inbox Edition, and you definitely don't want to miss that.
The Gadget Show podcast with Jason and Susie was presented by Jason Bradbury and Susie Perry off the telly. It was produced by Ewan Keel and Tom Clint, and is a North One production.